Get started then. If everybody's right here, we got everybody here that should be here. Hello, Mike Arco, Pakahia Pau. I'd like to welcome everybody to our February meeting of our Hawaiian and Barrel Council. Today, of course, is Thursday, February 18, 2021. I'm glad that everybody could make it. Glad that all our core members are here. Kumu Hinano Rodriguez is one of my first Olelo Hawaii teachers. Back at Manoa back in 1977, I think it was.
Yeah.
Ancient history. So good to see his face again. Of course, everybody else who's able to make it to our meeting, thank you very much for that. Uncle Waiola, would you be able to open us up with a pule, please? The words of guidance, Kilolumai. Encouragement.
Father and everyone, we come before you now. With humility, we ask your blessings upon us as we make decisions about our Ikupuna, that we be the right decisions for the best interests of our ancestors and for our people. Pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Can we have the roll call, please? I'll just go ahead and start since I'm ready talking. Nale Kakalau representing Hamakua.
The rest for Kupono Hilo.
Well, Higa Hamakua.
Nomen Kaimoloa Kona.
How mea Kau.
Kalamoni Kau.
Oh, sorry, Kalena.
No, Kalamai. Kalena Blakemore, Puna.
Ship it staff, please.
Inanna Rodriguez, History and Culture Branch Chief.
Kia Kalpito, Aerospace Specialist.
Christian Omar out there, site specialist.
Aloha kakahiaka ka'ahiki solis, cultural historian. Mahalo.
Anybody else would like to introduce themselves at this time? Anybody else? Okay, so once again, mahalo nui loa, folks, for being here. Truly appreciate it. Mahalo. Our first item of business on the agenda is approval of minutes for January 21, 2021. Glenna, would you mind alakaying this segment because I was not here last month? Yes? Hiki. Thank you, Kalena. Mahalo.
Somebody's background sound is on you.
Yeah, can everybody check? Turn off any external digital devices or at least mute your computer, please. Mahalo. 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 Thank you, Kalena.
Everyone has read the minutes and reviewed it. We could use a motion on the floor to approve the minutes.
I move to accept.
Wait, we have to have a motion to approve. Then we'll have a second, and then we'll have discussion, and then we'll vote. Mahalo, Uncle Des.
Kalo mai mina. I move to accept.
I second.
Okay, so I must... Uncle Des, are you making a formal motion that we approve our minutes? Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. And Waiola, you are making the second of that motion?
Yes.
Okay. Aye. Mahalo nui. Is there any discussion? Shall we call for the vote?
Yep.
Okay. All those in favor of approving our minutes from last month, January, please say aye or raise your hand. Aye.
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 I think we have four. Yeah. Kea, just hold them up for a second for Kea to get. I think Uncle Des said aye too.
Yeah, aye.
Okay. All those opposed? Any abstains? The motion passes. Mahalo nui.
Mahalo nui, Kalena. Mahalo, everybody. Thank you very much for that. Okay, then we're going to the business section of our agenda for today. Business item A. Here we go. Draft barrel treatment plan for SIHP site 50-10-28-30865, Kealakehi Ahupua'a, North Kona District, Island of Hawaii, TMK, open parentheses 3, close parentheses 7-4-009:072. Information and discussion on the above draft BTP. Aloha mai. Anybody here with regards, Loke, are you here to talk about this project? Oh, Makaino, mahalo.
Velina mai meke aloha, ya kako pakahia pau. Mahalo for the opportunity to come again before you folks. Glad to see everybody once again this year. So I am presenting a draft burial treatment plan to you folks. This is for information and discussion purposes only. But this is for a property and for a site located in Kealakehe. The property is currently owned by Meraki 9 LLC, and it's located on the site itself. 30865 is located on TMK 7-4009, parcel 72 in Kealakehe, Aupua'a. So this particular property is, or the project area is a roughly 9-acre project area. And the landowner intends to subdivide that into 9 roughly 1-acre lots. And so site 30865 would be within, I'm sorry, my notes are so small over here, Kalamai, would be within a portion of a new subdivided lot identified as lot A2-2-E. So the landowner has recently gone before the county to get preliminary approval for their subdivision. So we were contracted by Meraki LLC to prepare a draft burial treatment plan, or to prepare a burial
treatment. Do you know where a ruler is?
For this site. So I'll just give a little bit of a back history, and a lot of this is already in the report. So I'll sort of just synthesize and summarize, and then be open to any input or comments from the council. So an archaeological inventory survey was conducted of the entire parcel back in 2003. Later in 2018, ASM affiliates returned to the property and did follow-up field work for this in recording the sites, redocumenting, updating any site descriptions. Just a second. So as a result of the combined 2003 and the 2018 field work, a total of 9 archaeological sites comprised of 72 features were identified. Many of them were associated with the Kona field system stuff. But one of the sites that was identified was site 30865, which is a lava blister that contained a single set of human skeletal remains. The site itself is about 10 meters by 5 meters in width, and the opening to the lava tube is on the southeast end of the lava blister. The opening is about 1.75 meters long by a meter wide. And so as part of the 2018 inventory survey, they also identified the skeletal remains of a dog, but that skeletal remains of the dog skeletal remains were not identified in the 2003. So we think a dog may have come in and actually died in the cave sometime between the first survey and when in 2003, and then we went back out there again in 2018. No other cultural material was observed within the cave or within the lava blister area. Additionally, archaeologists identified on the south side of the lava blister two sort of parallel rock alignments that sort of form a little path that leads up to the lava blister. Although there's no cultural material or anything of that nature, it was the site itself is believed to date to the pre-contact or historic period. Page 24 and 25 of the draft BTP that you folks have has photos and a site map that shows the location of the remains and the animal remains and just the general layout of the site itself. So part of the process is identifying lineal and cultural descendants that may be able to trace them, their genealogy to this site or to the Ahupua'a. And so in that case, what we did was we put out public notices. First, one in Kawaiola, the Kawaiola O'oha newspaper. That was done in January. And then we also put in notices in the December 9th, 11th, and 13th of the Honolulu Star Advertiser, as well as the West Hawaii Today. As part of the public notice, we also included the last name Beniamina in the notice because the property in the site and the current project area is within a portion of a land grant that was awarded to an individual named Beniamina in 1896. So we received two responses so far from the public notice. One was from Mrs. Felicita Dumayas, and she informed us that she grew up in the area, but currently lives on Maui. So she hasn't participated in anything like this before, but, you know, seemed to be interested in providing some input. But we're still working with her. That's still ongoing. We also got in touch with Ms. Nicole Louis from Kona. And so on, and I know it's not in your folks' draft because this recently happened, but this past Monday, my colleague Matt Clark was able to do a site visit with Ms. Louis to go and check out the area and get her input about some of her manao for preservation measures and things like that. And so based on those discussions with Nicole, you know, what we're recommending in this particular barrier treatment plan is preservation in place with a 30-foot buffer that would extend around the perimeter of the site. The buffer would be delineated by a 3-foot-high rock wall, which is something that Ms. Louis had shared with us. And the mason, you know, the wall would be constructed in sort of the masonry traditions of the North Kona area. Vegetation clearing, any vegetation clearing needed within the preserve would be hand clearing only. And we're also proposing to seal the opening rocks that would be needed for the ceiling of the key of the entrance, and as well as for the buffer, would be collected from the nearby the site or on the property itself. Let's see. So access to the preservation easement would be for lineal and cultural descendants. We're proposing putting a sort of a steps that leads up from one side of the easement down into the other side so that people can get in and out if need be. But that's sort of pending. We're not really sure yet on that. And possibly put signage up as well, just informing people that it is a burial preserve and to act in accordance and to treat the place with respect. Yeah. And so that's sort of where we're at with this draft burial treatment plan. It's still ongoing. We're still doing consultation, but I just wanted to share sort of what we're working on at the moment at ASM with the Burial Council, and I'm open to any input or mana'o that you folks may want to share with us at this time. So. Uncle, can I hear you?
Uncle, let me know ahead of time. The students wait till I'm almost done with everything until then they tell, Uncle, we know can hear you. So thank you very much for giving me advance notice. Mahalo. Thank you, Lokelani, for your presentation. Very well appreciated. Council members, do you have any questions, suggestions, comments for Lokelani at this time, please? Anybody? Clifford? Chair? Clifford. Sorry, Clifford.
Oh, wait, gotta unmute.
Clifford, same thing, you gotta unmute.
Unmute.
Okay, how about now?
Good. Yeah.
Good?
Perfect.
Okay. Tuta, thank you so much for your in-depth study and your appraisal and your professionalism. Much appreciated. And Hinano and all the staff at SHPTI. And with respect to councils present, I most appreciate that. Mm-hmm. I just want to preface what I'm going to say by addressing the current situation, where the Office of Hawaiian Affairs has petitioned SHPTI that they would be more transparent and an opportunity to work collectively together for a better, predictable, positive outcome. There's talk about different burial councils on the various islands, Maui in particular, which my ohana comes from Maui and it's dear to me. And Dean Maxwell, chairman of the Maui and Lanai Burial Council, questioned SHPTI how more than 180 burials at the Maui Lani real estate development in recent years could be classified as inadvertent, meaning they were unanticipated. So let me just preface by saying this. This is almost my third year on this council. My mother was on the Maui Burial Council. I know that this is incredibly challenging. When I was asked to be on this council, I rejected friend of mine asked me to do that and to be here, and that's why I'm here. In the broader action, not my, normally I would not do this. I respect all you guys, and I know you're under a lot of heat, but the evidence can't be denied. This pattern of how things come before this council and are approved and passed lack an audit provision to ensure whatever we agree to is followed up. So right now, as I understand it, and I could be wrong, hopefully I am, the burden resides on the property owner. They pretty much have got to follow whatever outcome that the councils receive in conjunction with SHPD. And that is not solid enough. So here, default to the AG's office. If we're led to believe something to be true and it's not, and the value of this exceeds $750 by Hawaii Revised Statute, that's criminal fraud. And I think we do have evidence here that suggests that what we've been led to believe has not been followed, and that the value by evidence of who's participating in some of these things like Maui Lani real estate development, more development, a lot of cash on the table, certain people have been misled. So the only thing I'm going to bring to the attention of this council is that we really need to be serious about what we're doing, not pretend, but be serious. And we should work for a predictable, positive outcome, not just a complaint session of what's wrong. I mean, there's a lot of challenges, especially right now. But how can we make sure what Lukilani is presenting, that that in fact happens? And what is the audit provision? Now, with AG present at these council meetings, and also the agency representing SHPD for us, with Hinano, I mean, this stuff can't be denied. We should address them. We have the influential people at this meeting to come up with an outcome that's going to satisfy these descendants who are looking to preserve the integrity of their EV and collectively our culture. So all I'm saying is the suggestion, we need to be a little bit more serious about what we're doing, not just this casual, oh yeah, okay, all in favor, oh, blah, blah, blah. How do we know this is happening? Where's the follow-up? We need the AG's office to defend this, to remind the people here, every one of us is liable. So should one of these descendants, and this burial plan, and council can confirm this, is a mitigation plan. Litigation is also one of the dispute options that are available. So we agree collectively to mitigate, and I don't know if enough people coming before this council understand what that means, what their options really are. What I've seen in my time, brothers come up, oh yeah, I want to take care of the EV. What? They don't really care about the legalese, what it's called. They just want to have access to take care of their EV kupuna. But us on this council, we have a responsibility. And if we're not sharing that with our constituents, especially the area that we represent, shame on us, which was going to result in some legal action. Because that's the whole purpose of what we're doing here. We're not here for the kumbaya or whatever. This is a legal function here. So I just wanted to say that to set the tone. When we vote for these things, we should be very serious about what we're doing, and that we need an audit provision to make sure compliance is in order. Because right now, this is like all in the doctrine of happily ever after. How do we know? And that we need to understand what is the punishable outcome. I'm thinking it's just criminal fraud. So somebody's got to go to jail. Who's that going to be? That's all I wanted to share. Thank you.
Mahalo, Clifford. Mahalo nui. Scott?
Yeah, I want to get back to the Big Island. Right now, you stated that there's a 3-foot wall. Did that change? Looking at this figure 15, it's a 2-foot wall. Did that go up higher?
Yes. So originally in the draft that we sent, which was earlier at the end of last month, beginning of this month, initially was we thought 2-foot wall would be okay. And then after consultation with Nicole Louie, she would like to see a slightly higher wall. So she recommended a 3-foot wall, that the wall be raised a bit more. So we're going to go with the 3-foot wall based on what based on our consultation efforts.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for this coming forward. I was wondering, this is a 9-acre, almost 10-acre parcel. Only one burial has been identified. So I was wondering, when you guys did the AIS, which I know you don't need to provide for us, but I do like to see the AIS. How was that survey handled? And can we anticipate there might be more inadvertence that get, you know, put forth because we've only seen one, but I see that it's a 10-acre parcel. I was just curious. I'm glad that there's a monitor. I saw that that was going to be there, and that's good. But just curious about how the AIS was conducted and what you think.
Yeah, so actually, you bring up a good point, Kalena, because in the so if you look at the parcel itself, there's sort of like this cutout on the Makai end of the property. There's like a sort of a rectangular cutout, and that's where the Palani well number 3 is located now. And so actually when they were doing construction for that, and we weren't involved, this, I'm not sure if this was 2011 maybe, or even before that, when they were building that well, they actually hit a burial when they were doing that construction. And so there was, so the burial sort of sits right on the boundary by the well site and on the northern side, right on the boundary of the project area. And that was site, I believe it's site 29270. And that particular site was a burial treatment plan was prepared, and they did implement preservation measures for so preservation in place for that particular burial. And that's all the little bit of information I was able to gather on that particular site. So we do know there was at least a second one further Makai, but this is the only one that was identified up on the top. The property has been surveyed twice, and you know, I mean, we checked all the any lava, the openings or things like that, but it is, you know, it is Kwana, and there's sometimes lava tubes that we don't have access into or for whatever reason. So, you know, the possibility of an inadvertent is there with almost every project that you work on, you know, so, or, you know, wherever sort of grubbing or that sort of activity has been taking place. And so that's something that the AIS would sort of address with regards to monitoring things like that on site. But this was the only known burial that we did identify on the property.
Yeah.
Uncle Viola.
Good morning. I have two questions. One of them, you I read in here that signage will be put installed, but you just said it possibly will be put up.
Yeah, we haven't. We're working with the descendants to get their input about whether they think signage is appropriate or not, if that's something they want to see. So yeah. We're suggesting it right now, and we're getting feedback from the descendants on that to make it more final. So when the final draft comes around, we'll know more or less if they want signage or not, but we think it will be
okay. The other question actually kind of relates to what Kopono was saying. It says the temporary orange sign fencing will be removed when the wall is put up. When is that?
So right now, the way the process works is when the landowner goes for their grubbing and grading permits, that's sort of the trigger to make sure that the state will check through the, you know, through their system to see if they have any mitigation things that they need to take care of, sort of the status, the archaeological resources on the property. And so when they go for their grubbing and grading permits, that would be required, but that's according to the process. But based on our conversations with the landowner, I believe they will be implementing them as soon as this stuff goes through, because they do plan to go for grubbing and grading permits. So they want to take care of this stuff up front and not wait for the state to come back and say, well, you still need to do this. And so I don't have like a definitive timeline to share with you folks at this time.
So what you're saying is when he is grubbing is when he's going to make the wall?
No, that would be done beforehand. That would be done before. So
before, okay.
Yes. So what we would sort of the plan right now is for us to go out prior to the construction, any construction activities, and then set up the temporary buffer so that the landowner knows, you know, where and when to, where not to go. And also make sure that the preservation, the interim is implemented as well as the long-term preservation measures are implemented. So we would, you know, photograph, well, the landowner is responsible for photographing and turning in that documentation. And that's something we follow up with them as well to make sure that they did the things that they were supposed to do according to the plan.
Thank you.
Yeah. Go, Cliff.
Is there an audit provision to this to ensure compliance?
So the one provision that we do have in there is, you know, meets and bounds of the site would be surveyed and recorded against the deed of the property, so that that site is always protected in perpetuity, and that all any and all future landowners would be aware of what's on the property itself. And then also requiring in the plan, requiring the landowner to show proof that interim preservation measures are implemented, as well as the permanent or the long-term preservation measures are implemented.
The burden of proof resides with the landowner, but what agency or whom ensures that the policy or the procedure is being done according to the agreement?
So right now in our plan, we have that SHPD would be responsible for ensuring compliance with, you know, meeting all the preservation measures that's outlined in the BTP.
What my limited experience has shown me is that what's accepted is that the owner is supposed to do that. And that becomes like the accepted general practice. But this is where we have the flaws come 2-3 generations later, 5-6 land swap deals in between. I'm thinking and hoping we could do better. So, you know, Tita, you're the expert at this and all your years of experience. What do you suggest could be a reasonable and productive audit provision to ensure compliance? Is it only with SHPD? Do we need a bond to ensure that if there's any violation, the bond kicks in so we can bring in people like you to further explore, or attorneys, or what?
You know, my thought is that, you know, when the landowner informs us, you know, like, oh, I've put up my stuff to have a site visit with people who have been involved in the planning stages. So any lineal descendants that are willing and able to come out to the site, as well as people like myself, would come out and double check along with SHPD, because they are the overseeing agency. So I think something like that would be good. And we could compare the plan to see if they executed all parts of it. And if not, I never really thought beyond that of what sort of penalties should be applied if they don't implement those measures.
Well, discounting the penalty provision, but if that language could be included in the contract and the offer, that would speak to a potential breach, and then all those other things would just kind of fall in line. But where we would have language a little stronger so that people would pay more attention to their responsibility moving forward.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Mahalo.
I had a question.
Hi.
With the AG and in regards to I'll say that for later. we're gonna bring that up later. But, okay, I have a question for the geologist. Development guys, you've been to the site.
So what was that?
Have you been to the site?
No, I have not been to the site yet.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just wondering how far is that proposed access easement that they're gonna put up for that burial site?
The access easement to the site?
Yeah. How long is it? I just think it further ahead when people go and actually visit the site. You know, sometimes they might be, I mean, the river rough terrain, because a lot of times these easements are put in the most advantageous position for the owner, right?
Right.
You know,
right.
The shortest distance. You know, so I just wondering if you've been there, but if you haven't, then that's no problem.
Yeah, no, and I think we're, because you bring up a good point, because that's something we outline in the burial treatment plans as well, like, where would, you know, visitors, you know, the descendants come to park? Where would they walk? How would they get to the site? So we actually haven't gotten to that level of detail yet with this draft. And so oftentimes we put them along the boundaries of the, you know, property and stuff. So, but we'll consult with the landowner as well as my colleagues on this to sort of decide what would be the most efficient path and safest path to the site for descendants.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thanks for bringing that up.
Anyone else? Any questions, comments, suggestions for Lokelani at this time?
This is Hinano. My only comment is that, and this stems from Kalena's question. You guys are entitled to see the AIS. Let me rephrase that. You guys are entitled to see the accepted or approved AIS before you will eventually make a determination to preserve in place or relocate. It is a provision within the rules that you guys have access to that AIS.
Model for that.
Yes. Yeah, I'll be happy to provide that with provide that to the council when I come back next time. And I believe we just got the approval letter from SHPD for the AIS as well. So it's recently been approved. So I'll get that to you folks for sure.
Nale.
Ignoran, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Aye.
Yeah. I just want to say, Lokelani, I was hoping I didn't see your name on top of the, you know, the on the papers that you were going to be heading, you know, this project.
Yes.
But I like, once I saw you, I know already that, you know, that by working with you all this time, you've taken care of our requests. And, you know, before we even tell you, oh, you got to do this, you got to do that, you already know what we want. And you go out and you go get them. Like the buffer zone and the covering of the opening, you know, I'm always for the covering of the opening.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm glad that you are in charge of this project, and then you get whatever that needs to be done correctly, yeah, and take care of it without us even having to say anything. So, keep up the good work, and I hope to see you more often, because when I see you, I know we're going to get things accomplished, yeah? Yeah, mahalo.
Thank you, Uncle. I try. I know I get scoldings when I come over here, so try to keep them good, huh?
Yeah, keep them good.
Hakamai, young lady. Okay, you know, Hakamai. Any other comments? Anybody for Lokelani?
Lokelani, we gotta pick on somebody.
not me. No, but I just, you know, I'd like to come here before we come with any sort of final thing to you folks, so I can get this sort of input, so that I can incorporate them not just into this particular BTP, but into any BTP that I work on in the future. So I always appreciate my time with you folks. So mahalo. Hi, Kalena.
I just have a thought because you were mentioning that. I was just curious about the landowner, because all we see is this generic business name. I want them to know what you have to go through and what the archaeologists go through and what our council goes through when we're making these determinations. And not to be a stalker, but I'd like to know who they are, and I'd like them to show up to our meeting and be next to you. And they see what you're going through and how the negotiations work when we're trying to, you know, protect the Ibi Kupuna. So since we're just in discussion mode right now, I would appreciate it if you could tell the owners that we want to see them, and you know, have them available if we have questions, so we can kind of measure their integrity and, you know, just take a pulse on who they are. Okay, thanks.
No, yeah, no, that's a great point. It should be at every one of them. Yeah.
Too bad we're not live. I tell them bring food too. But anyway, you know, so we can be eyes. We can eat. Looking at it, I just got a few things. First and foremost, again, I can only echo what everybody else said. When I see you here, I know you're going to be here. I know that things will be succinct, concise, and terse, and I like that. Mahalo nui. I do like the proposed treatment so far. I do like the long-term and the short-term preservation measures. I'm happy there's going to be a little higher wall. Mahalo is talking to Nicole Louie for that. Mahalo nui. She's awesome. So right. I like a 3-foot wall. I also like, again, the cultural monitor. I like that you're going to have pre-construction on-site briefings before they start working. I like always the maximum protection of burial sites, model for the 30 feet, 9 meters from the outside edge or the exterior of the blister. So far, you know, everything looks good, access for lineal culture descendants. I also like that you put in there offering the lineal, the genealogical descendants an opportunity to come and help malama the place. A lot of times we don't see that in preservation plans. So model new law for that. It's an open invitation. I like that. Sometimes it seems like they can only show up to say aloha and that's it. Yeah. That's really my kind of know. I did have a couple of things though. I just wanted to question real quick. First thing is it's mentioned to be a blister, and I do know that you did mention to be the word be steps put there maybe or maybe not.
Yeah.
I know you haven't been there yet yourself, but my suggestion is if it is a pretty high blister, then I would go with the steps. Again, kind of tagging on what Scott was mentioning about if Kupuna come, you know, how can they get there? Just a suggestion. The next one I'm looking at figure 16. And based upon this figure, it looks like the long-term preservation extends into two different plots, lot A to E and lot A to D. In previous burial treatment plans, usually when it got to the borderline of a property of another parcel, it stopped there.
Okay.
Is this project's intention to carry it on into both parcels? I mean, it would be nice, but you know.
Yeah, I'm not too sure. I can look into that. I'll double check on that because I'm not too certain.
And if it's not going to extend, then how far would that distance be then from the outside edge to that?
To that boundary.
That boundary.
Got it.
10 feet, you know, 20 feet, whatever, if that's possible.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. I was just noticing that because in the past, like I said, usually wherever the boundary ends, that's where the preservation boundary ends as well. Mm-hmm. Also looking at that same diagram, I do notice that it is, I think it's, sorry, not even my glasses, I can pick this up. Kawila Street Road? Is it Kawila?
Aye, Kawila.
I notice there's a little orange line connected to the preservation boundary. Is that
Uncle, what figure are you looking at?
I'm looking at figure 16. This one. Put down.
Okay. Scroll. Sorry.
But I just noticed that that off of Kawila Road there is a little line that connects to the from Kawila Road to the actual burial site itself. But I'm just proposing if it's possible that might be the best access because there's a road there. Maybe parking can be put there as well. Yeah. Again, hearing what Scott said, you know, sometimes Kupuna got to walk. I remember one case where they wanted to walk down a public access road, take the Kupuna all the way down the beach in Kona, and then toss their hokupu or makana up to Kupuna because it's about a 10-foot wall. We told them, no, we're not going to do it. That was impossible. Anyway, want to make sure that they have the best access possible.
You know.
And that's just what I had. So I just noticed. Like I said, there is a line connecting Kawila Road to the actual site in Figure 16, and I just wonder if that might be a proposed pathway.
I think it might be, but I'll confirm with that stuff, and even on the boundaries, extending.
But again, other than that, mahalo nui loa for this. Thank you very much. Anybody else?
Cliff, I think, had a question.
Yeah, Clifford.
Yeah, in fairness to everyone, even the owners, I think the AG's office can answer this question, but if the owner of the property contracts with an archaeologist or someone to do the survey, isn't it a condition of agency so that the owners themselves do not need to be upfront and forward since they have an agent representing them in this discussion? And therein, the archaeologist or consulting firm, they're the ones that are responsible for their findings, not the owners.
I can hear you. Linda? We cannot hear you.
Okay, now can you hear me? All right, sorry about that. You know, newfangled things, sometimes they work, sometimes they don't, right? So it depends on the scope of the agency as far as what they are allowed to represent or to bind their principal to. But they, you know, as long as the agency is such that they are authorized to represent the landowner at these types of meetings, then that's, you know, perfectly acceptable. The landowner does not need to show up. However, I believe that Kalena's request was not made so much as a, you know, formal contractual thing, but a based on a relationship type of situation where they want to have an actual relationship with the landowner, to see the landowner and to be able to talk to the landowner. It's not a legal requirement. But it is something that they are requesting, which they are authorized to do.
Mahalo, Deputy Attorney General Chao. Mahalo nui. Thank you.
Okay. I think if there's no more comments, I just wanted to mahalo you folks. And yeah, I'll be back in the future.
Mahalo nui loa and loki lani. Have a great day and afternoon. Take care of yourselves. Aloha to you and your ohana always. Ahui ho manawa pono. Aloha. Mahalo. Mahalo. Yohana, so we're going on to agenda business item B, which is discussion on Hawaii Island Borough Council membership roles and responsibilities, information discussion on the above item, presentation by Hinano Rodriguez.
Okay, so the reason why this item is on the agenda is because both you guys and the Office of Hawaiian Affairs have asked for training, and we agree with that 100%. We are working with the AG's office in developing a more comprehensive type of training. But I think in the meantime, what we should do is give you guys a preview of what the training is going to encompass. And so because we haven't gotten to the point of developing the comprehensive training, I thought what we could do in the meantime is go through 13324-28. And it has to do with the roles and responsibilities of you guys and the roles and responsibilities of us guys, or us. Kea, can you bring up the, and this is only going to take up less than 10 minutes because it's really short. Can you bring up the share screen for 13324-28?
Okay. Give me 1 second to pull up 13300.
Okay, so while Kea is bringing that up, so our training, of course, is probably going to start in April. And it's going to encompass the statutes, the administrative rules, in addition to Office of Information Practices and Ethics. Okay, so I just want to give you guys a heads up on that. With respect to Office of Information Practices and Ethics, they have online training. We're going to ask you to go to that online training at your convenience, but then nevertheless we're going to do a if you guys have questions, which I know you guys are going to have questions on that stuff, hopefully we can bring in someone from those offices to be able to answer questions for you guys on Zoom.
So actually, that's the question that I have for the commission for the council members. We have a PowerPoint presentation on like the ethics laws that we are working on. We can do that first. And then if there are more questions, I think that the council members have, we can then request that ethics, they, you know, are happy to do training for different councils and stuff. And so we could ask someone from ethics to come in and do that training as well. So, you know, we can do it either way. We can start off with them, or we can start off with our presentation. And then if there are more questions, more in-depth questions, we can then bring somebody in from ethics.
Hinano, I had a question. When you do the training, is this going to be like a statewide council at the same time? Because with all the questions, I figure it would be valuable for all of us to learn from other guys. But I just wondering, is it going to be just island by island?
So that question came up yesterday. And I think I agree with you that it might be best to have everybody do it all together. But I think in terms of control, might be better if we do each island separately. And the reason why I say that is in the past, when we've had training, we kind of never get past page 2. And that's because there's, you know, everybody's asking all these questions. And then number 2 reason is that each island, the rules have been designed such that each island is autonomous of the other. And so each island's questions might be different based on how they do things.
Okay, thank you.
But what we could do for that concern is our staff can keep track of all the questions from each of the islands and then pull all the questions together and the answers and then send that out to each burial council after the training.
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay, so starting off with 24, what we've done in the past with Maui and Kauai yesterday is that we've asked each council if someone on their council could read each section. And they can do that by one person read the entire 13324 or by section, whichever way you want. And then if you guys do not want to do it that way, then staff will read what is there. And let me explain why I do that. It's because growing up Hawaiian, we learn a certain way. And the way we learn is we know what we see and what we hear. And so when we do it this way, your guys are seeing it as a person is reading it, but more importantly, you're hearing it as a person is hearing it. Okay. So can you go back to the top? Because unless it's my screen, I show you starting at D. Yeah. Okay. So what? You guys like staff read it, or you guys like take turns reading it to each other aloud?
I like to read.
Okay. Vapu, I'll help read.
Okay. Hikino.
Hannah, you like to start off?
Sure. 13-300-24. Deputies and duties and responsibilities. Sorry, deputies. A, the primary responsibility of the council shall be to determine preservation or relocation of previously identified Native Hawaiian burial sites as set forth in this chapter. B, the council shall assist the department in the inventory and identification of Native Hawaiian burial sites by providing information obtained from families and other sources. C, the council shall make recommendations to the department regarding appropriate management, treatment, and protection of Native Hawaiian burial sites and on any matters related to Native Hawaiian burial sites. B, the council shall maintain a list of appropriate Hawaiian organizations, agencies, and offices to notify regarding the discovery of Native Hawaiian skeletal remains and burial goods and burial sites. E, by a concurrence of a majority of the members present, the council shall each elect a chairperson and vice chairperson for 4-year terms who shall serve no more than 2 consecutive terms. By a two-thirds vote of its members, the council may at any time replace the chairperson or vice chairperson or both. F, in accordance with section 13-300-4, the council shall be authorized to deem department records relating to the location and description of Native Hawaiian burial sites sensitive and thereby exempt from the requirements of section 92F-12 HRS. G, in accordance with section 13-300-35, the council shall decide whether to recognize a claimant as a lineal or cultural descendant based on a written assessment provided by the department. H, the council shall be authorized to take any other appropriate actions in furtherance of this chapter. Nothing in this section shall be construed to limit the authority of the council as to matters provided in Chapter 6E, HRS, effective September 28, 1996, authority HRS 6E-43.5, and another string of numbers, HRS 6E-43, 43.5, 43.6, and 92F-12.
And just to clarify, so 43 is a statute with respect to burials in general. 43.5 is burial council. 43.6 is inadvertent SHD.
Oh, thank you.
That's how it kind of works out there.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
You want me to continue?
Okay, I'll jump in the next one.
Okay, go ahead.
A lot, Glenn. I'm hungry. 13-300-25, meetings. The council shall hold regularly scheduled meetings at a time and place established by the council. Notice shall be given in accordance with Chapter 92 HRS. The purpose of the meeting shall be to acquire information relating to Native Hawaiian burial sites, make recommendations to the department regarding Native Hawaiian burial sites, and determine the proper treatment of previously identified Native Hawaiian burial sites. B, all meetings by the council shall all meetings by the council shall be open to the public, provided the council may meet in executive session pursuant to Chapter 92 HRS, in which the public may be excluded by a recorded vote of 2/3 of the members present. No order, ruling, or decision shall be finally acted upon during executive session. C, following recognition by the chairperson, any person may submit oral or written testimony to the council regarding a matter under consideration, provided that applicants wishing to conduct an informal presentation or present a proposed burial treatment plan for determination shall first submit a written request to the department to be placed on the council meeting agenda. D, the council may close the meeting whenever location or description of a Native Hawaiian burial site is under consideration. The chairperson, by concurrence of a majority of members present at the meeting, shall be authorized to require the public to leave the meeting while the confidential matter is being discussed and reopen the meeting once the confidential matter is no longer being considered. E, written minutes of the council meeting shall be approved by the council. Upon request, the department shall make available to the public copies of the council meetings, with the exception that the public minutes shall not reflect closed meeting discussions relating to confidential matters. And this is effective September 28, 1996. One generation ago. Time for an update now. Okay, that was that section.
Let me go, Nale. Take turns.
Okay, shoot. I'm good with that.
13-300-26, quorum. A majority of the council shall constitute a quorum to conduct business, and a majority of the members present at the meeting shall be necessary to approve any council action. 13-327, duty of chairperson. A, duties of the council chairperson shall include but not be limited to the following. 1, preside over all council meetings to ensure the orderly conduct of relevant business. 2, be available to serve as an appeals and panel member. And 3, conduct any other duties necessary and appropriate to fulfill the responsibilities and obligations of the council. B, in the event the council chairperson is unable to carry out the responsibility stated in subsection A, The vice chairperson shall be responsible for the same. If the chairperson and vice chairperson are unable to preside over the council meeting, the council member shall elect from amongst those present a member to chair the meeting, effective September 28, 1996. Okay, you want to move it up? Go ahead. Go ahead.
Section 13-300-28, role of the department. A, the department shall provide all necessary administrative support services to the council, which shall include but not limited to the following. One, post a notice of council meeting agenda with the lieutenant governor's office. Two, make necessary arrangements to reserve a place for council meetings and assist in arranging site inspections. Three, record and transcribe minutes of council meetings. Four, acquire and verify all information necessary for a council determination of borough treatment and refer the matter to the council for determination. Five, submit to the applicant in writing the council's determination and any recommendation accepted by the department. Six, generate correspondence on behalf of the council to implement the applicable provisions of Chapter 6E, HRS, and this chapter. Seven, provide information to the council on any matters relating to appropriate management, treatment, and protection of Native Hawaiian burial sites and on any other matters relating to Native Hawaiian burial sites. And eight, conduct any other administrative acts as deemed necessary. B, the department shall develop a statewide inventory which identifies and documents burial and reburial sites in accordance with Section 13-300-31. C, legal issues may be referred to the Attorney General's Office for appropriate action. And again, this is also effective September 28, 1996. Mahalo.
Can we ask questions along the way or what, Hilano?
Yes, so
about the state inventory.
The good thing is you're asking that question after we're done with this, because I was supposed to say in the beginning, hold your questions till we're done.
Okay, yeah. Great.
So we're done. We're done. So, yes, you can ask.
No, I just wondered if there is a statewide inventory.
Yes. So the statewide inventory actually consists of all the burials with assigned SIHP numbers. Hmm. So for the most part, all the burials are already GPS and is in a GIS system. So at this point in time, that is the inventory.
Okay.
I just want to throw this out to you guys since you asked that question. Yeah, remember that all our records are public records, and anybody has a right to ask for those records, unless the burial council actually deemed the information, that is to say the location and description of that burial, as sensitive and thus confidential. Yeah. What we do is, with respect to that GIS form, we don't identify it as a burial. Because we don't want people going out there and maha'oi. The burial. But then when it comes to archaeological firms or anybody with a legitimate reason to know what is there, which of course is you guys, we can share more detailed information about that burial with someone who needs that information.
I have a question. The data from the burial track, is there an algorithm or anything that's drawn from that so that we can better understand on the average what determines inadvertent and what becomes the site based upon the historical evidence over time and the discovery? Are we using any of that data in that fashion or in that way?
You're talking to a guy who can barely use his cell phone? But I can take your question.
Hinato, I'm talking to a lawyer. I know your background, Vara.
but I can ask a GIS person. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm almost sure that I'm almost sure the answer is probably no. That the polygon that might indicate a burial is not going to indicate at that layer whether or not it's an inadvertent or whether or not it's previously identified. I'm almost sure that's what he's going to tell me.
Yeah, but for those who have been identified as inadvertent and then they find corresponding, Like the case on Maui right now, where they're saying over 180 burials, and they're all saying that's inadvertent. I mean, so that we can better wrap our heads around, is that 180 burials over 25 miles? Or is that 180 within, you know, 40 square feet? What, I mean, who knows what that means? So that we can, when the people come before, we know that, hey, this may not be the only ohana who's there, maybe other people. So how do we as the council draw this information so we can come to the best possible conclusion in their interest and their behalf? If we're the ones that are being trained, we represent our community, where we come from, the different motu, how can we use this data to really enhance our understanding of what we're trying to do? That's really what I'm asking.
Okay, so I get your question now. I think the crux of your question is what defines a previously identified or known burial and what defines an inadvertent. And I will defer to the Deputy AG with respect to those definitions.
Wow.
So previously identified under the rules refers to burials that are found as part of an AIS. Anything that is not found through the AIS process is considered inadvertence. So this is, forgive me for this analogy, but to me, doing an AIS, so the AIS, before they do any sort of trenching or looking for burials, they do a AISPN or a prep, basically. And it has to be, or a plan that has to be approved by SHPD, and they would lay out where they intend to trench, do test pits, basically, to try to find what historic properties might be there. But because we're talking subsurface, subsurface resources, subsurface historic properties, it's kind of like playing the game Battleships. If any of you remember that game, right? You call out a thing, you stick your pin in the hole, and the other person will tell you if you've hit a battleship. Well, it's the same thing. You know, you can't do 100% of the field. So you start trying to figure out where might be the most likely place for it. You stick your pin in, or you do your test pit, and you hope to find the historic property that's there. And if you do enough of them, hopefully you'll find most or all of the historic property, but sometimes you don't, you know, and it just depends on the circumstance of that particular location. For instance, in the Maui Lani, you know, I believe, and Hinano can maybe correct me, but I think it's on the magnitude of hundreds of acres that's involved in the total project, you know, so, you know, within hundreds of acres, you obviously can't survey all of it or test all of it. And so you just have to do your best, and sometimes it works out well and sometimes it doesn't, you know, and that's about the most I can say about it.
I have a question.
Do we need more money funded for the burial council and for SHPD so that they can do that job? Senate just passed $100 million for an economic development thing. They don't have a clear plan. And we're working with evidence and fact and people and that. Don't we qualify for that type of funding?
I don't know. I am not aware of the economic development funding that is going through.
Senate Bill 256 just passed a couple of days ago, $100 million.
Selena, did you have something you wanted to add?
Yeah. Well, I had, after listening to AG, I just wanted to add something to that question, tailing off of what Cliff had put in, is how frustrating it is for us to know that a property, maybe they had previously identified a burial or two, and then as soon as a project begins, like Hokulea over on Kona side, or what's going on in Maui, that as soon as cemeteries are being discovered, they shouldn't be categorized as inadvertent. And that's, I think, one of our big beefs on the council, is that we need to include them as a cemetery, not, oh, it's an inadvertent while we were doing our project. So I get, my heart starts beating hard, and I understand we are constrained and shackled by, you know, what we have right now that's been put before us in terms of our rules and administrative rules and statutes. So hopefully we can focus, you know, work on some of that and moving so that we can meet the criteria in a different way and we can change it. I would really love to see that. Thanks for that question, Cliff, and for the answer, AG. My question was, something that's been coming up a lot in the last few months is recognizing descendants, lineal and cultural. And like, it would just be nice if we had some better definitions and guidelines to go by. I know that Cindy Young had clarified for us, sometimes we want to have those people there before us, before we recommend, you know, and approve their genealogy. Right now we have a situation where we have a lineal descendant that's been recognized for burials and in Kumukahi, who wants to pass this kuleana of Iwikapuna to his daughter, who happens to be Hanai. And so though they have no blood connection, they have a cultural family traditional connection that we respect and honor and recognize in Hawaiian culture. So when we're looking at the nitty gritty and the lines that have been drawn by HRS and HARS, can you provide any guidance for us on how we could work with the situation? Because for me personally, I would recognize the cultural tradition and accept the kuleana of a Hanai child to take on that for Iwikapuna. But if you look at what we have in the laws, it would not coincide with that same, you know, response. So I would appreciate your thoughts on this.
So the Hawaiian tradition of Hanaiing children is recognized in the law, and there is some case law for it. Unfortunately, I have to say I'm not that well versed, except to say that I know it is recognized as being similar or the same as having an adopted child, and they are recognized as being part of the family. So that's something that we could possibly work with SHPD and you know, look at other law outside of the burial laws to see if there would be some way to reconcile that, you know, those two cultural traditions, you know, kind of thing, with the law that, you know, as it's stated. So, you know, we can, so I guess, Kea, if you can remember to send that question over to us, we can look into it and see what we can come up with as far as an answer regarding whether or not that type of relationship would qualify for recognition as a lineal.
Thank you, Deputy.
Just to comment, mahalo Kalena for pushing this conversation forward and the AG, but as Kalena argued that according to our custom and belief, Hanai is understood under the West as an adopted child, but under the Kanaka Manao, the Hanai is part of your ohana, extended family. That's how it comes back to that source. Example, my name is Kopono. It's not my family name. My family name is Kaha Hawaii. Why? Because of the Massey case. My grandpa dropped that part of his name. So for me to say, I'm ohana to the Kaha Hawaii, and the Haole by the definition is, well, where's your connection to that? And I get booted out? Nah. So what Kalena is talking about is really the root of where I'm coming from. How much of this is authentic to our culture? Because we're talking about our Iwikupuna, not of Captain Cook, none of the other guys, our Iwikupuna in our aina. And so I would hope, and I would plead to the AG that to see it from that cultural condition is when I asked about the specificity of some of these details and how we read the law, that there's the spirit of the law, right? So under that spirit, are we not unified? Are we not lokahi? Are we not one people? So rather than all this divisiveness, which is creatorless development and separation in that,
I would hope that the council, we would more lokai, and that we all come together and for the best interest of everyone, not just one guy, even the landowner, so that we get good landowners, not pilaw kind of guys. Yeah. So anyway, that's just my manaw. How can we work more cohesively together and not leave anything out? And if the AG makes a rule, what's the appellate process to that? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then why get into that? Why can't we just like work it out?
We don't make rules. We make recommendations. We provide advice. It's for SHPD and the council to interpret and to apply.
I get that. But our action and our foundation is founded on law. And the law as it's written is the written law. But every law written has the spirit of the law, which is also argued. So we can argue the specificity of what our exact things are, but the purpose and the reason, from my manawa of any rule or law here in Hawaii has to do with the original people. Anything outside of that may be accurate, but it's not authentic. Mm-hmm. And now we have a question of truth. And founded on what? Of the U.S. Constitution? I'm totally down with that. Now therein, the state's law is limited. So I'm just saying, if we got the U.S. Constitution as that federal umbrella to hold us to what is true and just, can't we advocate for that and not be hung up on whether or not, you know, a specific detail in some outsider's mind makes sense for the people who are local here? That's, you know, that where's the logic and reason in that? So anyway, just had to say that. Thank you.
I have something to share really quick. And, you know, Clifford took the words out of my mouth, but I wanted to comment on this Hanai system. You know, being raised in Kyokai and Puna had a very special system there. It was never recorded. My dad came from a family of 17. It was Hanai'd out. And, you know, the spirituality of Hanai follows the child. And in Puna, once you're hanai'd by a family, you actually, the manao in that is you can go to any house and eat. But, you know, since the entry of United States, that part of the culture, the removal of the discipline of ohana was removed back then. So we not only fighting the law, but we fighting for our cultural identity. So in that sense, in Puna, and in Kuka, it was different. You got hanai to the family, you stuck to that family. In Puna, it goes, yeah? Like Clifford said, it you know, we even identified it one time. And today, it's very important to understand that we all come from Maui, and that really supersedes what U.S. law is working upon us. So this hanai system is something that's very unique, that I don't think the law of the United States Constitution can address that, because they don't have any cultural identity to identify. And, you know, this is not only about Hawaiians, yeah? Hanai system traveled throughout every immigrant during the plantation days that you know, I have Japanese family. I have Chinese family that we hanai. Yeah, for one reason or another. And then that child usually travels. They get older, maybe this family can handle that child. So it's a very complex system that only our kupuna understand, that we understand today. Unfortunately, the state of Hawaii and the laws that HRS is utilized to divide us, it continues. And it's no fault of the employees of the state of Hawaii. They have to enforce that part of it. And that's our duty as here in the council, representing Ivi Kupuna. We got to do our job too, though. And we're going to keep butt heads until we understand, the state understands the cultural identity that our children needs to understand and believe and trust. And right now, there's no trust in us. So that Hanai system, and especially for Kumukahi, is a huge, you know, I think, yeah, Kioni is, yeah. But that question comes up several times, and most recently with Ohana from Puna. You know, I don't know my family, but I know their family. And for our kupuna in our culture, it's good enough. Yeah? Aloha. Mahalo. It's all.
Any other council members, anything based upon definitely what was read today for sure? Sections 13, 324 through 28, if I'm not mistaken.
Uncle Norman,
I guess something I talk about.
Please, Uncle.
I'd like to ask whoever can answer this question. When are we going to get back to the regular meetings? Pretty soon, the governor said he's supposed to go back to phase one, and that will just like get us back to normal. So we're pretty close to getting back to normal. Or are we getting close? Can anybody answer that? Kia, Hinano?
This is Hinano. No, I cannot answer that question. I don't know.
Are we getting close? Can I answer?
Get an answer.
Yeah, I don't know, but I don't. It's not our decision to make. I guess it'll be the governor's decision. I think it. Yeah, I don't know, but you know what? You know what? I'll go ask my boss. Yeah, and then I'll have Kia send you guys the answer. Or the response that I get from him.
Can you answer this question? I know the last couple of meetings we talked about you was going to prepare like our meeting with a list of our meeting when we have meetings in Hilo or meetings in Kona. And you needed to secure some rooms and stuff like that. How is that progress? Do you have the rooms just in case? Just in case, say, the governor say, oh, everything's back to normal. Can we just, you know, boom, 2 weeks later, have a meeting in one of our proposed sites? Or we're going to have to wait, say, 2 more months, something like that. Because we no more the rooms or we never reserve the rooms. Have we reserved the rooms?
I didn't do a formal reservation, but I did give them a heads up, which is the two places that we normally go. So it'd be Dofa and Hilo and Civic Center in Kona. I don't know what it would be this month, but it continued from what it was last year, alternating back and forth. So if it ended in Hilo last year, then it would have started January in Kona, February back in Hilo. The other thing is, you know, I mean, when that time comes, I'm going to leave it up to you guys. You know, even if Governor Ige today said we can do in-person meetings starting next month, you know, I'm going to ask you guys if you guys want to do the in-person meeting or if you guys want to continue on Zoom for a little while. So, I would leave that decision up to the council.
I'm tired of Zoom. I think we should get back to personal contact. So we can give the all, you know.
Amen. Are the lunches retroactive?
That's a good question.
Yeah. When we return, we can have a luau.
Yes. So we should be allowed to turn in our receipts for lunch.
Yeah. That's a good one. I can find receipts, I tell you what. Answer that, Hinano. Come on, man.
You know,
Vegas,
like,
Vegas.
You guys get
Vegas
good lunches because you guys always get dried fish and poi. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Used to get dried fish and poi. Well, now we're back to bentos.
A bento's cheaper than poi.
I know.
All right.
Poi is a good buy.
Anybody else? Anything?
I just want to say thank you. I appreciate this little mini training and this question answer time that we get to have. We really appreciate it. It means a lot. Thank you so much.
Oh, can I raise one more question? So when we start doing the trainings, as Hinano indicated, we're looking at three different type of components of it, I guess, the ethics, the burial laws, and the sunshine law meetings. Do you want to have them all in one day, or do you want us to break it up and do like one segment every meeting?
That might take a while.
I would suggest breaking it up. That's just me, though. Coming from a teaching perspective.
Can we have a workbook? Can we have a workbook and a course outline so we can follow this and apply it as the instruction meets our outline?
So what we would probably do is we'd send you guys the PowerPoint slides ahead of time so that you can follow along and take any notes that you want to on the slides. I'm thinking we should start maybe with the burial laws component first and then do the ethics and the sunshine, or is there another order you'd want to see it in?
I personally would like a hard copy mailed to me because I'm running out of space on my computer and all of that. And
I will leave that to Kea to do.
Thank you.
Kalena?
Wondering if we have a question from Keone. Did you want to ask a question?
Yes, aloha chair, members, and the EG. I just have, a question is because we requested that we have full information of kumukahi, kula burials. And this was last year during the summer. In fact, the burial council meeting, and we have yet to actually have any, information that we requested. And the reason why we need the information is that we're gonna actually, we're seeking resolution for the whole area. And we're gonna we're in the process for going into UNESCO. So it's a World Heritage Site. So that's what we wanna see done in the preservation plan. So we need the, full disclosure and information about the area as well as the what happened in October 1999 with the desecration and the theft of the Ibi Kupuna.
Send Keone whatever records we have?
I can send you everything I sent to Oha. I think Kamakana has everything that we got, and I think you were CC'd in all the emails along the way.
I haven't,
I mean, we really don't have much, that's why.
Yes. So we need all of the information, even, with, Shifty, when they came down to the site to actually do the investigation. So I want all of that. I need all of that.
Okay.
Yeah, so could you actually email or hard copy, send me a hard copy of any and all information that you have?
Let me just make sure I have your email really quick. The K Kalave.
Yes, K Kalave.
Okay, yeah, I got it. Okay.
And one more thing, could we be put on the agenda for the next meeting? We have to formally do a request.
Yeah, for
my daughter to be a lineal descendant of the Kula burials.
Okay, yeah, I know you contacted me about this one, and I think Chris was working with her on this one, but I know you said you were going to send me some documents. You didn't send them to me yet.
Yes, which documents are you requesting?
Did she do an entire application already, and the supporting documents?
Yes, she did last year.
Maybe Chris can chime in a little on this one. I'm assuming this kind of relates to what Kalena was talking about. So I think Linda said she's going to look into how, Hanai kind of fits into our process that we're actually working with. So, I'll ask Linda and Hinano at this point. I'll let Chris kind of, I don't know if he wants to talk about what he has, but, at this point, can we move forward with making a recommendation to the council to recognize somebody as Hanai, as a lineal descendant that is Hanai?
Okay, but before we proceed, I just want to share with you in that specific area, okay, Kaulua Hua, this is a specific area in Halipua in Kauai. And this is one specific practice of Hanai. So you're not going to find it any place outside. You're going to only find it in this area of Hanai. So once you get Hanai, the child can go to any house, and they can go eat, they get malama. And you see, in this practice here, we know more such things as auntie and uncle. It's father and mother. My grandfather's brother is my kupuna. So every generation, as how strong and close it is. And only in this area that you can find it. I mean, it's also written in books. If you look at Folk Tales of Hawaii by Laura Green, it actually talks about this this process. And so once they, you know, the child is Hanai, they have equal rights. There's no division of who get koko, who no more koko. It's once you Hanai, everybody's equal. So this is a specific area where we have specific practices. So, you know, Hamakua, maybe they get different practice. Hilo get different practice. Are we talking about this practice in this area?
Okay, yeah, you know, and actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I don't think Chris can talk about it right now, the details, you know, because it's not something agendized. But, you know, in general, I think we can maybe still ask Hinano and Linda if at this point, if SHPD can make a lineal recommendation, you know, based on generically a situation like this.
Right, because okay. It's
to be agendized for the next meeting.
So, again, you need to send a request to me. So that either I myself or I can assign it to somebody to do some research into this. Okay. And then we should have a discussion with us and SHPD, because part of it will require a cultural component as well as a legal component to it. And, you know, obviously we have to rely on you guys for the cultural component. So my suggestion is also try to get as much background as you can on the Hanai tradition in that area, you know, as, you know, if it's different than in other areas, and then we can discuss it.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. And also, there is also Hanai ceremony, and it's specific to the area. I don't know if other places outside, you know, different districts, they have one ceremony for Hanai, but in our area in Halipua'a, Kula area, we have a protocol and a ceremony.
This is on what island? Sorry?
Hawaii Island in Puna.
Oh, okay.
You know, that goes right to the gist of what Kalina and Kupuna was talking about. You know, it's, you know, if you're asking for evidence, the evidence is like from Kauai, and you cannot find it's very, you know, I come from a perspective of a ancestral realm of being a voyager. When you arrive upon the shore, you get Hanai automatically. Yeah. You share a ha and that whole part of it. But that was what I discussed earlier, what that area in Puna did was kind of different from what we did in Kyokaha and in, you know, Anahola. And you know, that's I think that was Clifford's point, even Kalena's point, that it's hard to authenticate from your end.
Yes.
And that's where the struggle is. You know, you're going to look for something that's not there and then come back, oh, we don't have it, so that's not correct. And that's we lose the spirituality of that essence of our kupuna. And it's something to understand. I mean, you know, it's like bucking heads this.
Right.
But all we're trying to do is connect the families to our mm-hmm. kupuna, our ibi right. kupuna. That's right. The only thing. That's our goal. It's our, you know, yes. life struggles.
Yes. Okay, so I have one last question. So let's say the person is actually formally adopted through the state system. Did you guys recognize that? No?
Again, that I don't know offhand. I have not had any opportunity to look into what the status is of an adopted child under the law as far as from a genealogical perspective. Mm-hmm. But again, once I once they give me the request, then I will make sure somebody goes and researches that issue.
All right. Okay, mahalo.
Right on, Keone.
Yeah. Thank you, Keone. Mahalo.
Oh, mahalo for you guys' time. Mahalo to each and every one of you guys.
Oi puke kahi. Mahalo.
Aloha.
Nale, you're on mute.
So when you're in the classroom, you're constantly talking, so you don't really put it on mute. But, you know. So Kalamai. Again, thank you, Hinato, for that presentation. Mahalo nui. And most importantly, thank you for being here. Thank you very much. I know you're at last meeting as well. I wasn't able to attend, but mahalo being here. And of course, this is the fifth or sixth month in a row we've had a Deputy Attorney General with us. And again, thank you very much for that as well. It really helps. It really, really helps a lot. Yeah.
And just for that, I mean, I unfortunately will be transitioning into a different role in my division. So I'm becoming the supervisor, which means I have to supervise both my division, my side, the land side, and DOT side, which is part of our same division. So my responsibilities are going to shift a little bit. We'll have less personnel to staff. So, you know, we will still be available. You know, we'll try to make sure that we're available by telephone if issues come up. We will periodically still appear. We may not be able to staff every meeting. Or if there's an issue where you would want a deputy AG to be present for, we'll definitely arrange to have somebody here for those. But going forward, I don't know that we'll be able to staff every meeting for the entire length of the meeting, but we will do our best to accommodate what we can.
Mahalo.
Because, of course, under economic times, if I move up, my position doesn't get replaced, right? We're all in a hiring freeze. So, you know, we just end up with one more puka. So it's just the way it's going to have to be for now.
Well, I move not to accept you moving up.
I second that, Uncle. Is it an emotion?
I call for the vote.
No discussion. Right now,
you know, right now I'm working 12 and 14 hour days just to try to juggle both, you know, because I'm transitioning in. It's like, I'm with you. Let me tell you.
I know for personally, I really appreciate you being here because it really helps us to move forward.
Your professionalism is much appreciated, Counselor. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And I like it because, again, it helps us to answer questions, you know, and it helps to diminish unfortunate confrontation that might happen amongst council members. Yeah. Intense discussions. Let's put it that way. Intense discussions amongst council members. So thank you so much for that. It really helps out a lot.
Yeah. And then hopefully the training will help too, because, you know, and we'll definitely be there for the training so that, you know, we can hopefully answer questions that come up and that might be, things might be clarified as a result of the training.
Mahalo. I'm just going to mention three things and not to open up the discussion again, but just to mention based on what I've been hearing is that I heard up normally with the Zoom. I totally understand that, Uncle, to the max, but I also like the opportunity for people from other islands being able to access as well. You know, being a public meeting, I know first and foremost it's for our island, but, you know, if they're not able to get here, for example, I noticed Keone Fox, I think, was on earlier today. I know he's always been here with a lot of Kau issues, but I give him a chance to still chime in. There's some way we can have best of both worlds. That would be awesome. I don't know if that's possible or not. I'm not a techie. The second one, of course, is that whole inadvertent thing. You know, that's always been a mea nui with me since day one. I just sort of, people knew where they were at 20 years ago. How come what's happened now? Why are they all of a sudden missing in action? Yeah, kind of. And especially to me, when you're dealing with a historically important area. Well, all areas are historically important. But for example, I'm going to chime into Hokulea, this island. I mean, when they first told us the amount they found, you got to be joking, especially when Pu'u Ohai is right below where the Ole Ohana is at. I mean, Ali'i burials. I mean, we know that place was inundated. And of course, we found out later it was. Yeah. So that term just somehow, again, I would like to say that the Western traditions and our cultural traditions are running parallel, but they're actually colliding. Well, actually, maybe they are, but sometimes they bang each other like atoms, you know? And that's definitely one of those for sure. So I would just suggest that if there's historically very populated areas that they should do really due diligence to do the best they can to do a little better job if possible. And the last thing is that I'm always appreciate the briefings that we get, and I think that was alluded to today, but I would also like to get some debriefings in terms of did these things get done, as was mentioned, yeah? And not just coming in front of us and just talking about it, but showing us pictures again. examples, yeah? Because knowing that we're limited in site visits to how many council members can show up. Or at least if it's in a district like Plenary and Kona, Uncle Norman or whoever the Kona representative is can show up just to see what was done and report back to the council. So just thoughts on that, folks, from my numerous years on the council so far. Okay, so, but again, mahalo everybody for your input. Always truly appreciated. Mahalo. Okay, so then we're going to go into section 5 of our agenda for today, folks. That's the inadvertence and communications. Item A is inadvertent discovery of unidentified human skeletal remains encountered on January 23rd, 2021 on land managed by the Department of Hawaiian Homes Lands at Kalae, South Point, Kamaua, Aupua'a, Kau District, Island of Hawaii, DMK, open parentheses 3, close parentheses 9-3-001:003. Notification discussion on the above inadvertent discovery. Yeah, or Christian?
Sorry. I think I have my paperwork in the room. So this inadvertent is a little different because it's on lands managed by DHHL. What that means is that this inadvertent will go through the NAGPRA process and not the typical 6E process. What that means is that our department doesn't have the jurisdiction that we usually do on it. So DHHL needs to initiate that NAGPRA process for treatment. So I have an email. It's at Pinal Bay. I don't know if everybody's familiar with Pinal Bay. Next to Pu'uali'i, so if you head down South Point Road and then you get to, you know, actual South Point where everybody jumps off and you head to the left a little bit. That's where it is. It's a little, I would say maybe 50 feet back from the shoreline. So far, the people that have been notified are DHHL. I believe they wrapped in somebody from OHA in the emails as well. They originally sent the email to us asking us what to do with the remains, and then we notified them that they need to go through the NAGPRA process. And so the last thing that how this conversation ended was just notifying them that they had to go through NAGPRA, and I didn't hear back from them yet. So I don't know. And I did let them know they can consult with the council as well as our department for the consultation process. And so hopefully I hear back from them shortly. And, you know, if they're going to decide to come forward to the council.
Question. If the Hawaiian Homes Commission Act is bifurcated between the Fed and the state, why is the state dragging on this?
Sorry, what do you mean?
Hawaiian Homes Commission Act is a federal law.
Mm-hmm.
The law has been bifurcated to create the Department of Hawaiian Homes land.
Mm-hmm.
It's a state agency to handle the people that are physically here addressing those issues. Given that, why isn't SHPD on it? Why are you defaulting to the Fed?
That's just how the law is set up.
I default to AG's office. How is that Hawaiian Homes Commission Act is bifurcated and here in the state fails to take responsibility for their portion of the law?
Again, if that's the way the law is set up, then, you know, and I'm not really familiar with how DANGPRA works on DHHL lands. You know, I would have to consult with a DHHL deputy on that.
But just the fact that the federal law is bifurcated, sharing at the state and the federal level, and now the government chooses at what portion they will participate, when the spirit of the law is written to address the needs of the people under a democratic umbrella. That's the question I have. And I'm sure the people coming before this council are going to have that same question. It may articulate it differently, but the essence is there. Why is it we get this double dribble action when we're bringing forward a complaint where we have nowhere else to go,
It's happening here in Hawaii, in the land of our kupuna, and we're getting this double jerk action. I think that's what's irritating a lot of people. So how do we work together collectively to mitigate these type of administrative interpretations and problems? And so all I'm trying to raise is that consciousness.
So I don't think this is exactly the answer you're looking for, but so it's not the DLNR that chose not to have jurisdiction over inadvertent discoveries that happen on Department of Hawaiian Homelands. It's NAGPRA, when NAGPRA was written, that took that jurisdiction first. And that's how we wrote our burial rules with that in mind. So because NAGPRA took that jurisdiction first, then HAR 13300 was written with that in mind, allowing the jurisdiction to remain under, we can't, that federal law, we would have to acknowledge. So we didn't decide to push it out of our jurisdiction.
Here's a suggestion. How about we bring in Eddie Ayau at the next meeting to speak to this specifically? He was one of the authors of NAGPRA. Can we do that? Can we put that on the agenda?
Yeah, if he was willing to come and talk about it. And I know he worked for DHHL too for a while.
So as we went through these rules of how this thing works, that responsibility would fall under administration and care that would come under you, I'm assuming, to contact Eddie Ayau to ask him to participate and if that could be on our agenda.
Yeah, I mean, again, if I can try and get a hold of him. I mean, if he's willing to come, that, you know, that's fine.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I have a comment on this situation. I was approached by Kuali Kamara from the DHHL in regards to a discovery.
You're going in and out, Scott.
Oh, man.
Scott, look in here.
Yeah, I really want it for, yeah.
Can hear you now. You sound good now.
Okay, yeah. The situation happened when they discovered Evie down at Kalae. So first thing I did was tell the guy, okay, I'll check it out. So I went to Shifty. Shifty told me something that I never knew, that DHHL comes under federal rule, NAGPRA. So then I went to DHHL, and twice I tried to set up meetings with them, and twice they gave me a runaround. But I asked them if they had any kind of protocol in place to deal with the EV. And so far, now I'm getting letters from 2011, the same situation with thousands of fragments of EV, and nothing ever got solved on DHHL land. So somewhere along the line, we're going to have to step up and at least bring on one DHHL representative, I think from the planning department, and have him sit down. And we're going to have to discuss, because the EV is the EV, whether it's on federal or state or local land, county land, whatever. We need to discuss this issue, because all these EVs on DHHL land seem to be getting pushed aside. And I mean, there's pictures of tons of EV, yeah, and especially on Kalae, where they do off-roading and all kinds of stuff. It's only going to get worse. In the next 10 years, it's going to be real bad, because they're going all over the place and cutting out all of those areas that DHHL is supposed to be watching out. So we need to set up some kind of meeting, at least with the DHHL and with the burial councils, and maybe even the Hawaiian Homestead Association down in Kau, to at least unify one process that we can all address the EV and take care of it. We cannot just say it's NAGPRA's fault. And that's what happened, and that's where I ended up with asking Kelvin, trying to help me out on that too. But even Hawaiian Homes can't even address the situation. I told a guy, he said, well, we never hardly ever have problems. I said, DHHL has more land than, I don't even know if they get more than Kamehameha schools, but, you know, I know got EVs on our properties. There's all untouched lands and stuff. So you know, they need to step up. And I think maybe the Borough Council should step in and at least address the problem with them. Bring them on a meeting, and we can all work out a solution for taking out Evie. Yes.
Can I add something too? Man, I just lost my screen. I just want to reiterate that what Scott was saying is imperative, that just because it's DHHL land and it falls under NAGPRA jurisdiction, we have to be proactive and we have to participate as a burial council for our island. We can't let the Ibi Kupuna just lay dormant like that to be open and wait for the feds to come in. And I'm just curious right now, like what happened? What's the outcome? And yeah, there's so many burials down here. Kupuna is a huge burial ground. We know that. So this is an opportunity for us to be proactive and to start putting things into place where we can still exercise our kuleana as HIBC in conjunction with NAGPRA, because I don't see any NAGPRA people here. I mean, I don't see anyone here that showed up, and there's nobody at our meeting. I mean, I did call Kualii today, but he's in the field. He couldn't attend, but he should have had somebody, a leader in his office, a manager, a director. Somebody should be here and care. Anyway, I just wanted to repeat what Scott was saying.
Also, when I was doing my research, I ran across this thing where Brown versus Hawaii, and that's where they defined Shipti as a museum. So now that presented problems for Shipti, but right now, after the Brown case, NAGPRA covers all Shipti actions. And the only way, they govern all, NAGPRA, however, does not apply to the island burial councils. So in case you find a like burial sites, if the burial council decides to preserve the thing in place, then Shipley does not gain control of that thing. Thereby, that's how they avoid NAGPRA rules. But once we, as a burial council, decides to relocate those EVs, that's when Shipley takes over the possession of those EVs and NAGPRA comes into force again. So a lot of things I've been learning just by the problem of EV on Hawaiian homelands. So that was interesting to me too. So that's all I said.
Hello, Scott. Mahalo nui.
And also the representative, he couldn't make it today. The guy that presented the EV situation to me, he's in a field for DHHL today. So, you know, if we can actually get a representative from DHHL to say what plan they have in place for dealing with EV, that'd be a great help.
I just want to point out to everybody that this section 13300 is Hawaii revised statute. These are the fundamental laws that we had when we were a kingdom. These laws have been revised for whose interest and whose purpose. So this is something where we need to challenge the letter of the law based upon the spirit, not upon the amendments, the revisions. Because if we had this thing according to how our kupuna had it, we wouldn't need burial council. We wouldn't need Shipti, but that's not the case. So given that these statutes had been revised, we need to revisit them for the integrity and just the morality of Kanaka Maoli. So.
Mahalo nui. Any other further discussion on item A? Anybody?
Yeah, you know, I just wanted to add a little bit of a little bit more context as to you know, why NAGPRA is kind of the governing process on this. So it is written into 13300, you know, that, which is where I shared the screen, that the inadvertent discovery, you know, of Native Hawaiian skeletal remains on lands managed by DHHL is going to be governed by NAGPRA. But, you know, So NAGPRA managed, so under NAGPRA, the definitions, Hawaiian homelands is actually considered a tribal land in terms of this federal legislation. And so that's how they pull DHHL within their jurisdiction. And yeah, I just wanted to point that out just because there's a little confusion as to how or why NAGPRA is how this particular inadvertence on DHHL lands in general fall within the NAGPRA jurisdiction.
FYI, we're not Indians. We're not a tribe. We're a
I'm
nation.
Not saying, I'm not saying we are.
With the United States. We're a nation that had a treaty with the United States. The annexation isn't even recognized by the United States as being legal. This is what President Bill Clinton apologized for. So to default to say, well, NAGPRA is like something else, this is what we're talking about. All this something else bullshit that we're subject to, but we're consistent with our culture. So here's the difference between authenticity and accuracy. The Fed is accurate in what they write, but are they authentic? There's no way. There's no way in hell. Why is it that the Kanaka Maoli are going after this Evie? Why isn't it like Punch Bowl or whatever? They had cemeteries. Why aren't they on it? That's a federal thing. So all this bullshit, we need to get this straight.
Anything else, Kale, you want to share?
No, that's it.
Anybody else? Anything? Okay, then we're going to go into item B, folks. And you should have received a copy of that in your packets and online as well. Item B is letter from the Hawaii Army National Guard dated January 20th, 2021, regarding Section 106, NHPA, HRS 60-8, consultation and request for concurrence with a determination of no adverse effect to historic properties for the proposed demolition of building 522 at the Hawaii Army National Guard Keaukaha Military Reservation Facility, Waiakea, Ahupua'a, South Hilo District, Hawaii. DMK, open parentheses, 3, close parentheses, 2-1-012:003. Notification discussion on the above correspondence. And again, anybody should receive the letter either through email or your packets. So
this is a Section 106 consultation. And so, if anybody has any questions or concerns, you know, this doesn't actually come from SHPD. And so on page 4, you can contact, they have the contact information if anybody has questions, comments, concerns on the project.
Seems like Hinano will be leaving. So mahalo, Hinano, for joining us today. Thank you very much. I look forward to seeing you in the future. Ila mai ka'i, ahui ho malama pono. Aloha. Okay, anything else, folks? Anything else right now? If not, we have reached the end of our meeting as of today, for today, rather. Any of our other guests? Keone, anything you'd like to add in? Angela, Neller, Kupua? Keone's back with us. Anybody?
Oh, I'm good. No, thank you.
Okay. Aloha, Keone. Good to see you, brother. Yeah. Oh, see your K, rather. Uncle Desmond?
I see Keone is back here. I just wanted to put off a discussion. I've been having a lot of phone calls and emails regarding the Borough Council and Evie Kupuna. I guess some of these families, I guess, at work one time were trying to identify Evie Kupuna, and they ran into the state, and I guess they backed away. But I think Keone can answer these questions. I've been approached by some families. I don't want to mention the names at this point, but some areas known as Kauna Mano, Kiola Ka'a, Manu Ka'a, some of these areas that was asking, then your name was attached to it. That you might know information on that. And so these families, and I just told same conversation I have with everybody that comes to me. I say, you got to go through SHIP-D and so we can get it on our agenda and we can talk about it. But I just wanted to bring that up. Kiona, you want to talk about that? If not, then I'm fine with it. But I've been reached, some Ohana had reached out. To go. Yeah. I just got to run it past Mahoney too, so.
Yeah, I mean, the questions might be regarding some land preservation projects that I'm involved with. So actually, my family has ancestral connections to these lands as well as do many other families in Ka'u. And all three of these properties have been threatened with development over the last few years. They all had subdivision plans that were submitted to the planning department. My family got involved with this back when C. Brewer sold the lands to these investors, and there were some preliminary plans submitted, and planning had approved them without requiring an archaeological inventory survey. My family worked closely with SHIP-D. SHIP-D concurred that an AIS should be required prior to any permitting approvals. And since then, my family's continued to work with some other nonprofits in an attempt to maybe purchase all the lands using public funds and save them in their entirety. So what really started as just an effort to protect Iwi Kupuna became more of a larger scale preservation project, which would have enabled protecting our coastline and entire cultural and natural landscapes. And we're still working with the community and descendants and the landowners to try to raise the public funding. But we're hoping to preserve everything and not have that threat of development that would impact the Iwi Kupuna.
Awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, and last night we had a meeting with Ka'u, with Keone them, and about like 60 other people, all from Ka'u, all concerned with Ka'u. You know, so the and none of the disgruntled part of that whole scene were representative, because I don't know why. They hold their own meetings and stuff, but I definitely been down there with Keone, and I've seen all the work. They're talking about 85 miles of coastline that they've got to save from development. So, they finally got Waikapuna, which is an unbelievable sight. I've never seen anything like it, but they want to continue just stopping development, at least preserving all of that coastline the way Ka'u should be preserved. You know how things get, where people get personal out. You know, I've been here for five generations, and you don't live here. And we all said Lakea Sugunuma, he don't live there, but I tell you what, that guy is connected to Ka'u. You know, his mother is Mary Kovena Pukui. How connected to Ka'u can you be? And he's full on board with the movement that Keone and the Alakai Trail guys and Public Land Trust are involved with. So, yeah, so. Awesome. Just to answer, I sent that to the other Ka'u rep, Desmond Almea, but I don't know, he wasn't at the meeting. Thank you.
I will not comment on that.
But thank you, Uncle Desmond. If you have any other questions, you can give me a call. And like Uncle Scott said, I did receive some criticism for not having more community meetings and not doing more outreach. It has been difficult with COVID to meet with families and to discuss the projects, but really we're just trying to raise the funds to stop the development and then work with the community for community-based management and stewardship. And I'd love to take you down there sometime, Uncle, if you want to go hold with me.
I'm all into that. Just on that note, and it's been something that one of the Kupunas asked me, that even though like that property that Lokelani was talking about, is actually the question was, the land you're looking at, was actually part of an Ahupua'awa larger portion, but only that portion was actually bought and sold by these people. So when they applied to SHIP, was just that property, but that property actually extends beyond those lines. And they're saying, but you're only looking at that, but I have Kupuna that's outside of what you're looking at, but it's all part of one parcel. I couldn't answer that. I was like, well, it's hard because, like in that
on a property, you know, this is one particular, but if you look across what they call Tum Tum Road, you know, it actually extends further up there, you know.
What they might be referring to is the fact that the Aupua continues up Mauka. It's really the highway, you know, that separates it. And it should be looked at as a whole. Our focus for really, our reason for focusing just on the coastline is because those were the properties that were purchased by the developers for right. these, you know, luxury gated communities.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Ken. Yeah. Don't send it to Scott anymore. Send it to me.
Yeah, right.
Well, do, Uncle. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Keone.
Mahalo, Keone, for the updates. Mahalo, Scott. Mahalo, Desmond. Mahalo, Nui. Anybody else? Anything? Any last?
I want to know if for future meetings, do you want me to start labeling the council members and any SHPD staff?
Yeah.
Labeling, like... What does that mean? Sorry.
So I would just like for my name, if you can see my name, I would just put something like that. And then like for your name, I can just put that, you know, you're the chair for Hamakua. Label.
So identifying who we are in terms of what we're representing them.
Yeah, yeah.
Our names are already there. That's why I can see all our names. Yeah, so no, that makes sense then. Okay, I'm cool with it. I support it.
Especially for our visitors.
Yeah, pull it in. Like, you know.
Okay. Okay. Cool.
Okay. Anything else, anybody?
Nope.
Well, again, thank you, council members, for being here. Mahalo to first of all, mahalo to our public for being here. Thank you very much. Yeah, that's one thing I love about Zoom. Like I said, is at least you could be in the continent. In Africa, and still, I'll chime in, and I think that's important. Yeah, so mahalo nui. It's good to see everybody. Council members, is always a joy and a privilege and an honor to sit with you guys. Deputy Attorney General Linda, again, we're gonna see if you won't get it reappointed. Not just joking, we won't do that to you. But we thank you very much for being here, and you will be missed. Yeah. Mahalo nui for that, and I thank everybody for all you do. Mahalo always, and of course to. To Akia and Christian, mahalo nui. Thank you for again assisting us in this very important kuleana. But Desmond, you had something else you
wanted to say? No, I guess maybe I missed it, but did we invite our guests if they wanted to share anything?
I did. That's how Keone Fox was able to give any mana'o. But again, I'll try one more time. Keone Kalave or Angela Neller or Kupua. Anything you want to share with us?
Kahiki.
Ole mahalo.
Kahiki, Kalamai, yo. And I'm looking right at you. Sorry about that, Kalamai. And thank you for joining us as well, Kahiki. Mahalo nui. Mahalo nui. You guys
do. Mahalo, okay. Yakapu.
If nothing else, folks, then right now, not right now, our next scheduled HIBC meeting will be next month, Thursday, March 18th. Most times, unless it's the leap year, March and February have the same dates and the same days. Yeah. So again, it will be on March 18th, 2021, 9:30 a.m. And for now, we presume it will be Zoom. Okay, so I hope everybody has a great month, at least for now. Take care of yourselves, take care of your health, take care of your families. Appreciate everybody.
Hey, Keone, before you dig out.
Which Keone?
You have Ohana from Kailua on Oahu?
Yes.
That's what he did.
Yes. Yeah. And all over there.
Why not? Keone Fox, what? You get family from Kailua?
Kaneohe. Yeah.
Kaneohe.
Yeah.
Not the foxes from Kailua.
No, but I know that family.
Okay, I'll just check.
I know you're talking about. Yeah,
you related to Megan Fox.
Megan Fox.
Sorry.
Well, I know Keone Kalave. I've met your family in Kailua. They have a restaurant there, but I'm mistaken. We ate at the restaurant one time.
The cafe.
With Uncle Bumpy. We were there eating breakfast one day, and that's where we're from. And then. You mentioned Hawaii Island. Oh, you know Keone Kalave. Oh, yeah. So anyway, hey, mahalo you plenty, bro, for sharing your family history and everything with them as well. They had the most phenomenal accolades for you, but mahalo nui for what you do, bro.
Yeah, just to say, you know, in closing, mahalo to each and every one of you guys for, you know, listening to our, you know, challenges in Mokahi. And hopefully we can have some sort of resolution for everyone. Aloha.
One day I would like to talk to you a little more about that area of Kauai, because I was told that the Namahois came originally from that area.
I have a lot of information in that area that you would find very interesting.
Oh, my God, you know. But one day we will huipu, drink Ava and talk story.
Yes,
you
know?
Always. In the Hawaiian situation, it takes 1 hour to say hello, 2 hours to say goodbye. But anyway, that's why my brother just digs out at the luau's or the pa'inas. He just digs out, you know. And then I get the scoldings, that bugger, you know. But anyway, but appreciate everybody. If you get a formal motion to adjourn, Kio Lulu Mai.
I move to adjourn our meeting for today.
Okay.
Second.
So motion has been made by Uncle Desmond and seconded by Kalena to adjourn the meeting. Any discussion on that? all those in favor, can you stipulate by saying aye, raising your hand. Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, aye, ole. And Uncle Desmond, if you don't mind, if you can send us off with words of wisdom, please. Ke olo mai.
E maruru te mahana, e pupu burial council, moko o ke ave. Te harmai te orometua, tauturu da whami, moko o ke ave, ame e puli pukua. E puri tato. Te mea hopea e ere rā hoi a i te mea pawha a oe. Ore. O te mau mea moa, ta tātou e whahiti i te ieni. O te piura puri ia, o te parao, o te parao mau. Iasu ia i parao o te nā metua, e rote o e te puri. Maruru o te atua, maruru o te atua, tini atua, a me amatua. Ka malamalama o ke akua, e ho'opuni mai ia kako. Ke aloha o ke akua, e kipuna mai ia kako. Ka mana o ka akua, e ho'opa kele mai ia kako. E alo o ke akua, e malama mai ia kako. Ma kahi o kako, o hele aku ai, e aku ano. A mama.
A mama.
Hello.
So until we meet again, everybody. Uh-huh.